Det här är en podcast om kultur, politik och vårt vardagliga liv i Bosnien-Herzegovina av mig, Teresa Wahlqvist.
Och mig, Stina Karlsson. I denna podd kommer ni att följa våra liv under tiden som praktikanter i Tuzla, Bosnien-Herzegovina.
Hej och välkomna till avsnitt nummer 6 av Tuzla-podden.
Välkomna, välkomna.
Hur är läget?
Det är bra med mig, hur är det med dig?
Det är bra. Vi sitter här i en park i solen.
Vi sitter i Tuzlas Central Park.
Ja.
Det är faktiskt 15 grader och sol.
Härligt.
Ja. Den här veckans avsnitt blir extra långt.
Kul!
Ja, extra kul.
Varför då då?
Jo, för att förra veckan så träffade vi 6 ungdomar från en stad lite utanför Tuzla som heter Sivinice. Det är så jäkla svårt att uttala det.
Sivinice? Skitsamma.
För att prata om hur det är att vara ung i Bosnien idag.
De är i åldrarna 16-18 år och alla är en del av projektet Youth Bank som styrs av Tuzla Community Foundation där Stina gör sin praktik nu. Så du har ju träffat dem här tidigare, men det var första mötet för mig och alltså wow, jag blev så imponerad över deras engagemang i skolan och samhället. Och, alltså de är så smarta.
Jag vet, det är verkligen inspirerande att lyssna på deras tankar och följa deras arbete med det här projektet och, som de gör. De är så himla fina.
Tänk om man vore så smart när man var så liten.
Ja, tänk om man vore så smart nu.
Dröm. Så Youth Bank är alltså ett program där unga kan ansöka om pengar för att realisera ett visst projekt. Det kan till exempel vara att
starta en idrottsförening eller fixa gatulampor runt min skola. Eller
fräscha toaletter typ.
Vad som helst, typ, högt och lågt.
Så de här ungdomarna som vi pratar med tar hand om ansökningar som kommer in till Youth Bank i deras stad och väljer tillsammans ut vilka som får bli verklighet.
Mm. De är själva medlemmarna i Youth Bank, alltså ledamöter om man ska säga så.
Okej.
Och det här är ju alltså någonting som de gör på sin fritid. Alltså trots att skolan tar upp jättemycket av deras tid så är det, alltså de engagerar sig verkligen helhjärtat i det här projektet. Och som de också säger så är inte det här bara ett jättebra tillfälle att träffa nya människor och ha kul tillsammans. Utan det är också ett tillfälle att känna sig värdefull och känna att man förändrar och förbättrar samhället tillsammans.
Att det är någon som lyssnar på dem liksom.
Mm.
Så vi träffade de här ungdomarna, Suad, Adi, Denny, Petar, Edita och Adila på ett ganska rökigt café i centrum av Sivinice. Där, alltså jag kan verkligen inte säga det.
Sivinice.
Okej, där de brukar hänga. Typ varje dag, verkar det som. Och det verkade lite som att så här, övervåningen på det här kaféet var deras andra vardagsrum.
Ja, en av dem sa ju att de förmodligen spenderar mer tid där än hemma sig själva.
Ja, men det var väldigt kul. När de ville ha bartenders uppmärksamhet så bara stampade de en massa i golvet så kom man uppspringandes för trappen.
Ja, goals. Men okej, nu ska vi sluta prata och låta er lyssna på vårt samtal med dessa ungdomar.
Och vi ska kanske säga innan också att den här intervjun genomfördes på engelska. Och igen, be aware för skrammel i bakgrunden. Vi försökte säga till bartenden och sänka musiken flera gånger. Men den lyckades alltid liksom höjas ett snäpp hela tiden.
Inte så mycket att göra åt.
Klassisk bråkstake på hemmafest.
Ja, men vi hoppas att ni kan ha lite överseende. För jag tycker att det blir ett jättebra samtal verkligen.
Ja, alltså det känns som att det här är ett av våra bästa poddavsnitt.
Ja, jag håller med.
Men okej, nu är det färdigt snacket. Över till rökigt café i Sivinice.
Sivinice.
Yes.
Säg det.
Sivinice. Sivinice.
Sivinice.
Sivinice.
Yay, bra. Okay. Nu kör vi.
Herregud.
Can you just tell me a little bit about yourself? Who are you? How old are you?
Yes. Okay. Well, I'm Adil Alic. I'm 17 years old. I'm Enta Kasabovic. I'm 18 years old. We are in third grade and that's about it.
I'm Petar Lucic. I'm 17 years old and also I go gymnasium. And
are you all in the same school?
No.
No.
He's the only one that's not.
He is black sheep.
And who are you?
Yes. Who are you? I'm Denny Trumic, I go to the machinery school here in Živinica. I am 16 years old and I am a volunteer for the Youth Bank and the Red Cross.
Okay, my name is Adi and I'm almost 18 years old. And that's 17. And I go to gymnasium, Gimnasia, and I'm involved in many non-governmental organizations and like Red Cross, has to be, and youth camp.
Well, I'm Slav Bojanovic, I'm 17 years old. I go to the same school, gymnasium, I'm third year of gymnasium.
Okay, so all of you are a part in the Tuzla Community Foundation, Youth Bank.
Yes.
Can you tell us a little bit about why you chose to join
the Youth Bank? Well, I heard about the Youth Bank from my friend who was there last year. And I just thought, I didn't know much about it. I just thought it was like a nice opportunity to meet new people and hang out and do stuff. I thought it was like Asubih, where we get projects and we ourselves do the projects. But then I found out we choose projects and we donate money to the people to better our community. And there was a weekend where we spent training. We learned what it was all about. And then I was like, I was really impressed and really proud that I joined that group.
So, as Etta said, I'm involved because of my friends wanted to participate in there, and I said, why not? And after some time, I learned what is Youth Bank, and after some time, I see that it's a very good program because it involves high school students and show them that their value, and because we have to decide. It's a very big opportunity and how to say
responsibility.
Yeah, responsibility to decide.
Who gets the money?
Yeah.
Which project gets to be?
And that's a really good program, and you meet the new people and you learn things based on your experience. Yeah.
Learning by doing.
Yeah.
So, what is the goal with the work you do in the Youth Bank?
Well, the primary goal is to better our community through these projects we receive.
In our country, there are a lot of things that aren't nearly the same as in your country, and a lot of things are missing that will make our lives better. It could be, in some communities, a park. Some communities don't even have parks or anything. Something that you think that is really necessary to have in some communities.
Yeah.
But then again, it could be some other stuff like, I don't know, LGBT movement projects or something. It depends from a community to community. Yeah.
Main goal for me is to improve myself and to do something to improve our community and to improve our future.
So while we are helping someone to improve our community, we are learning and we do so many things, and as she said, we don't have many things that is completely normal, and in some other countries, I mean richer countries, that they don't understand some things. We don't have parks or I don't know,
street
villages
lights.
Don't have a place like for
summer
football stadium
ground,
or something. So they can involve in this project. When they send project, they can improve their community and our community. So when you are getting everything back after you do that.
But basically, it's about having fun. Like, we like hanging out, and it's mostly just an excuse to like get together and, I don't know,
drink
coffee. Yeah.
And it's not boring at all.
No. How many people are involved with you, Frank?
It depends from a... Again, from a board to board, like our board is
the biggest.
Yeah, the
we
biggest.
We have around
27
people.
Wow.
Yeah. It's the biggest that's ever been.
And did you know each other before?
Yes, most of us.
No?
Yes.
I didn't know anybody.
Yeah.
Well, some knew each other, some joined together.
Some dropped out together.
Okay, so what kind of effects do you think your work have on society?
Well, honestly, I think that our work is... The biggest effect we have is that we wake up the imagination and the working spirit of other young people, and we try to make a better future, if not for ourselves, for the next generation, because there's a lot of things in this country that need fixing, and I think we're the group of people that has the biggest chance to fix those things and to make a better future for everybody.
Well, the most important thing we do is we motivate other young people, because when they see that we accomplish something, that we actually built a park or something, they realize that something can be done to fix this community. And it basically empowers you, because in our country the governmental system is really restricting and people don't get a lot of say in everything. Well, they do, but not really. And it kind of empowers you, like you are part of making some decisions that are really important for the community, and you kind of feel
important.
Yeah, yourself.
And you feel that you're valuable.
Yes. You know. And throughout this process, we learn many things. Some have met the
mayor.
Yeah, the mayor, and they talk to a lot of important people. So we get those experiences that we wouldn't usually get.
And another important thing to point out is that this can be a stepping stone for our further careers, because before I joined the Youth Bank, I was not involved with anything. And after joining the Youth Bank and learning some very valuable skills, I ended up getting accepted into the European Youth Parliament in our country, which furthers my skills a lot more and gives me an opportunity to do even more good for the community.
And it's also good for the college applications. Yeah, it also helps us.
Is it common for young people here to engage in these kind of organizations?
No.
Or projects?
It's very rare.
They usually engage with Red Cross Foundation.
Yeah.
That's the most popular here. Yeah, he's there. Other than that, it's really rare that people engage.
They think it's boring and a waste of time, like they already said.
So it's not common for you to be part of some organization because they are scared. You know how when you get go in new. There are a lot of people that you don't know, and you feel like
exposed.
Yeah, but it is important to
break our shells.
Yeah, to give information about what many people don't know. So that we are having a non-governmental organization book fair. Yes, tomorrow. So that's why we want to free themselves. So they can
get
be a
involved.
Part. There is no a criterion for to become a part of this.
Okay, so what's it like to be young in Bosnia today? This is the favorite subject to talk about.
We talked about this.
It's hard.
Yeah, it's pretty hard. It's stressful and it's exhausting. And for example, in this town, I don't know, the youth go to school, they do their
thing.
Yeah, but we don't have many opportunities to have fun. I don't know, we can go out to coffee and that's it. We don't have any, I don't know.
Activities.
It's interesting, stressful and fun.
It's
mostly
about the people.
Because it's different from the youth from other countries. We have to survive a lot and learn a lot and have to fight a lot. So I think we are better prepared for the future and
adolescence.
We are better prepared than the other because they have everything, but we have to fight for some stuff and opportunities. There are many opportunities, but no one is going to go to you and say, do you want? No, you have to catch them, you have to ask, you have to get so much information to learn.
You have to fight for yourself.
You have to grow up.
And we have opportunity to meet other cultures in real. You know, I'm as a crowd, I really meet how it means to be a Bosnia core Serb. That's not like in Croatia or Serbia. There is only one nation and they don't meet each other.
But
other nations.
It's not really that bad. Like, it is a bad situation in our country. It's not really fantastic, but other people have it worse. And the most important thing about the youth here is that they're really optimistic, and that we still, I think that we're still having a nice time just because the people are really good in heart, most of them.
They're good. Politicians excluded.
Yeah.
The main thing is to fight.
And we know how to have fun.
See that, yeah. And
even without, I don't know.
Fighting.
Yeah, and I have to deal with some things with good and bad people. We have a bad people that work in government. When you need something, when you need some permission to have a table on a boulevard and everything, they used to yell at me because of, I don't know, reason they are stressed or anything. For no reason they used to yell. So you have to learn how to deal with that and fight with them. So after some time, it's fine.
Do you feel that people are listening to you as you're young and you're
Mostly no.
Mostly no, especially in schools. That he, like he said, we need to fight. Even with professors, we need to like.
Our system doesn't leave a lot of place for us to grow. The way that our country is, it teaches us that you have to have good grades. We have the opportunity to choose our electives, but we don't have the opportunity to choose the subjects that we want to listen to.
Yeah.
So you have to have all A's and then get through the admissions exam at university, and then you still have to see if you have someone in the government or somewhere working at a high place to reserve you a place at the university if you don't want to pay for it that much.
It's pretty complicated.
The previous generations were too quiet when it comes to all their issues. Our generation is the first generation to slam their fists on the table, raise their voice, and just say what the problem is, demand a solution for the problem, and fight against the broken system.
Do you feel like you're more optimistic than your parents? Or?
Oh yes, definitely. Most of our parents.
It was different when our parents were teenagers. It was a lot different. When our parents were younger, well, a little bit older than us, the Civil War happened, so we can't really compare that because the schooling system back then was, should I say,
it was really hard. It was really hard. It was kind of, Russian system. The teachers used to hit the students.
Yeah.
It was a communist system.
That was the punishment.
But the problem now that those teachers in the older time were better than the other new one because they don't...
They had the proper education. Even though they were strict, they could teach you something.
Because, they were old school teachers and they were better. We have some old school teachers that are really good and we have new ones that are not for even, I don't know, digging
a trench.
Almost teaching. They are not good teachers at all.
Yeah, we have problem with our educational system. Especially with the professors, teachers, the new ones aren't really that qualified.
And the reason for that is because you can buy a damn diploma in this country. There are a lot of private universities where you just pay for passing exams.
And politics is really involved. Yeah.
Yeah, you have to be a member of a certain political party in order to get a job.
Yes.
Or to be in the management of a school. You need to be in some political
party.
Party.
And you will get a teaching diploma.
No, the teaching position.
You could even become a doctor by paying your diploma, seriously.
Actually, a university opened just down the road for economics and programming, I think.
Yeah, that's like
and it's a private
office
university.
In some trading center.
Shopping mall.
Mall. There is a town where they have shopping mall and there's the office where in university for, I don't know, law. And you can just go some classes there and pay for diploma and you're lawyer, so
you're qualified.
Shopping and get a diploma. Yeah.
But do you, or maybe you don't know about this, but do you earn much as a teacher?
I didn't hear
is
the question.
A good salary?
Well, no.
They're always on strike or something.
Yeah,
so
the
I don't
teachers
know.
Got the lowest pay in this country.
My father is a professor in our high school and. Their payment is so low, like 500 euros.
But that is one of the best professors.
Yeah, because I've understood that you have like two different
shifts.
Shifts, yes.
Yeah.
Can you just describe how that works?
Yeah.
Basically, our schools aren't big enough to accommodate a huge number of students. And we have to divide the students into two shifts. It depends from a school to school, which grade is which shift. Most of the teachers work at two or more schools, depending on their norm.
Yeah.
Quota.
Yeah, the quota. Well, in gymnasium, the first graders and the fourth graders are the first shift. And the
that's
first
from
shift,
7 to 1.
7:15 to 1:30.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the second shift is from, it depends.
1:30
to
12:30
to
7:20. To 7.
Yeah, to 7.
And it's really exhausting because our breaks in between classes are 5 minutes long, I'm sorry, and the lunch break, should I even call it lunch break, is 15 minutes long.
20
if the teacher is late. And especially if some teachers don't end their classes at time, you have to stay in the classroom even throughout the break.
It's
so
really
explain. Especially if you have two classes in a row. For example, chemistry. Our professor literally insists every time that we stay for, like, that's
Wait, I'm gonna come. 95 minutes in the same classroom listening to his dumb voice.
So you sit in a chair and listen.
Yeah.
Okay. What do you like to do during your free time when you're not in school?
You go and you're back.
Sleep.
Be in the pub.
We don't really have a lot of free time.
Yes.
Well, on the weekends, we usually, when we don't have assignments or homework, we hang out with friends.
We volunteer, we do some activities.
Yeah, when we have activities, we do them also.
Or sleep.
Or walk.
That is like
or
when
walk
you
walk in nature and.
He's a poet.
Okay, nobody does that.
He walks in nature. I read a lot of fan fiction and watch a lot of TV shows.
I like to go to gym and exercise.
Would you say that all young people in Bosnia have equal opportunity?
No.
There are certain ethnicity groups, as they call that. Here, we have a lot of ethnicity groups, and for instance, Romani people, they are usually treated very poorly here, because they usually grow up in ghettos and they are very poor and they usually don't even go to school. They go to school for a couple of grades and then they just
stop
and then they start doing the things their parents did, which is collecting scrap metal for money or something. And that's really sad because they don't really get the opportunity because no one is really trying to help them.
But then again, even for us, basically, it depends on the economical situation of your family, should I put it that way. Yeah. If you have money, you're probably gonna, like, pass all of your exams and everything. Or if your parents know the professors, you're probably gonna get good grades.
Or if your parents are influential.
Yeah.
If you want to. And work in government,
rural,
like mine.
Yes, you have a lot of... You have less opportunity.
Yeah.
You need to go in bigger cities, and everything is capital and here, and sometimes in Tuzla. Two or three cities are bigger, and all other cities are. You don't have job. You don't have. You don't have money to live in these smaller city, and everybody is moving to bigger cities or in other countries.
Okay, if we're going to talk a little bit about men and women, do you feel that the opportunities are different?
Yes.
Well, depends on the area of the country, to be honest.
Yeah.
In the bigger cities like Sarajevo, Tuzla and Banja Luka, the opportunities are basically almost equal, like 60%, 40%. But in the rural areas, it's horrible.
No, it's more like 99% against 1%.
Yeah.
Well, I have a story. We were in chemistry class and we were doing an experiment. And then the guys were mostly doing the experiments with the professor. And when they finished, the professor was like, "You should clean this." Yeah.
To all the girls in the class.
Saying girl.
Well, to a couple, I was one of them. Go clean this. I was like really close because I wanted to see the experiment. And then I just ended up having to clean this stuff. Well, it's basically a patriarchy here.
Well, that professor in particular is really sexist.
Yeah.
Honestly, he's really sexist. And he taught us from our first grade, actually, at school. And he has a lot of sexist remarks.
Yes.
And if we started, like, saying them all, it would take a lot of time.
Yeah, it's most of the time insulting. Because when he insults some girl, that bothers me. And we, Adelaide and I, used to say, "That's bad, you can say that, that's rude." And he was like surprised why we are saying that and everything. And the main thing we have to, we can't allow that to happen. We have to fight and we have to say. The worst scenario is to not speak, to be silent about that. We have to be loud and that problem we get away.
Well, but besides us, like, even when people get married and have children, even if the mother has a job, she's expected to look after the child, to clean the house, to make meals every day. The husband basically doesn't have to do anything. He just gets home and lies down on the bed and watches TV and then complains about how hard his work is. And the worst thing is the people judge those women. Like, "Oh my gosh, she's going to work. She's not taking care of her child for the whole day. Oh my god, just
she doesn't take care of her husband, or she's not she's not worthy.
Yeah. The grass isn't mowed. Oh my god.
This is so true because my mom used to be judged because I went to kindergarten.
And basically, when we have, like, I don't know,
holidays.
For example, most of the people in our country are Muslims, and the biggest, basically, holiday for Muslims is Eid Mubarak.
Eid,
whatever. Basically, the women and the girls always have to wash the dishes and clean after, like,
and
clean up
cook.
Everything after it.
There's usually a big family gathering, and the women are expected to make a lot of meals. I remember my
and to serve.
My aunt, she makes so like two types of like cakes and so many
dishes, complicated dishes.
And then she has to look after the children and clean all of that. And if you don't help as a girl. What are you doing? Why are you just sitting there? Why don't you help her? Why don't you do anything? We're expected
like
to do that. Just help.
It's same for Catholic. It's when it's Christmas or Easter, everybody's gators, and my mom need to make hundreds of dishes and to serve everybody. And if my mother also works and works on a university, and everybody is telling why are you studying, why don't you wash dishes, why don't you help your husband, and women don't have opportunity to study, to be on the same level as a man.
Most of the time,
in our society.
It's like their servants and girls are taught from a young age that they should be doing that, at those family gatherings, the girls, 5-year-olds are, go help, bring that out, go clean the dishes, go do that, while the men just sit there
and eat and drink. Yeah.
The worst thing is, even when women are pregnant, and when they give birth to the child and want to get maternity leave, they get fired. For example, that happened to my mom. And she could never get a job again because she couldn't find it, because she wasn't involved in a
political party.
Yeah.
So that happens to most women in this country.
When they get pregnant, then they get fired.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because the firm that employs them doesn't want to pay them.
Because
it's a waste of time and waste of money.
They can get a new pay, maybe lower. And
is it important to get in the like the right or the biggest party, political party?
Oh yes.
Yes.
But
it changes. Like, we're not really familiar with the political system.
I am.
Well, he is.
Basically, the way it works is you have three big political parties for each of the three ethnic groups. You have SDA, the Muslim party, you have HDZ, the Croat party, and SNSD, the Serb party. If you're in one of those three parties, it's pretty easy to get a job. But if you're in any other party, you're basically looked upon as a traitor to the people.
And many teachers are in our school because of they are part of some parties. Like, they just call principal and say you are going to give a job to this teacher, even if he doesn't have experience or good
qualifications.
Well, but coming back to the women situation, like, the women that are, I don't know, used to doing that, they aren't aware that they,
are mistreated.
Yes, they think it's normal.
I think that our generations are raised by the internet, and even in our society, in our community, all of these things are present. And I sometimes ask myself, like, what if I was living in a rural area, and I don't know, it's a lot worse because the people are so numb at their brains, and they don't know anything about anything.
And they are, how to say, they didn't go to school, and they are really traditional, because that time went away, and this is the 21st century where everything is different and everything should be equal.
So do you think Tuzla or Sivinica different a lot from other parts of the country?
Yes, Sivinica or Tuzla. Tuzla, Tuzla and the entire canton, the Tuzla canton, is a lot more advanced when it comes to the mental process in the country. Like, most of the other parts in the country are still on the same system that political parties are the most important thing, but and there's a lot of nationality-based hate, but in Tuzla nobody really looks at that. The entire region of Tuzla is kind of identifies as Bosnian and doesn't really look too much at the ethnicity part.
So, you know the capital city, Sarajevo, and the capital city of Canton is Tuzla. And comparing the cities, it's very different. Because I talked to many people about that, and you know, important and not important. Sarajevo is more about religion, culture, and you know, Serbs, Muslims, and Croatia. And many people judge that. But Tuzla is more, it's a very big difference between this.
We are a true cultural part of the country.
Yeah.
We're multi-ethnic.
Yeah. So Tuzla stands out, but Živince is so much like Budge.
And because of that difference, there's not a lot of infrastructural development in this part of the country.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a highway corridor being built right now, and it goes through this through the whole country, but not Tuzla, because we're not we didn't accept the system that nationality hate is the main part of the life.
Yeah.
Even if it is better in those areas, our whole country is a huge, big, enormous village. Even in Sarajevo and Tuzla, it's basically full of those people that we used, like we already talked about, and it just doesn't fit in the whole picture of a socially acceptable country. It's like just like a big prison, basically.
Sometimes I feel
she's
like
so
that.
Optimistic.
Would you ever consider living somewhere?
No.
Yeah.
The main goal for a lot of young people from Bosnia is to go to Germany to work in Germany.
To move away out of this country, basically. I want to.
But we'll see what happens.
It's difficult to get a career opportunity if you stay in the country.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because when you want to do something but makes you being you, and they say you don't have a job, salary is low, and you have a pressure. So when you go out, you have many opportunities and bigger opportunities to do something that you want.
Like we said, our educational system is pretty hard, but that means like we have a lot of educated young people who are really qualified, but here they don't find the opportunity to express that and work. We don't have a lot of job opportunities, and when they get out, they're more valued. Like their knowledge is valued and appreciated, and they get the job they deserve, and they get the payment they deserve, while here they usually don't have those opportunities. Lucky few with like the political parties, and only they can get the job that they want.
And still many people think that war isn't over. They think, they act like the war is still going. Yeah. And they hate each other, they
discriminate.
Many of young people, that's even worse, that there are some young people that hate each other. I have a hope, but when I see young people hate each other, then I lose my hope.
Yeah.
Because it's normal that our parents hate each other.
They don't know why they hate each other, but they hate each other. Because of the
nationalism.
Yeah, after that war that happened, and we hate each other for no reason, and older people are trying to put that hate in young people for no reason, but we don't want that. We want to break those shields and everything. We want to gather to be together.
But I've understood that if you go to medical school, you have to buy your own
uniforms.
And
yes.
You have to buy your own
medicine. We have to pay for many things. There are so much.
We don't know where that money goes.
Yeah, nowhere.
To the politicians.
They usually say they're gonna use it for school, for, I don't know, fixing bathrooms or. We don't have hangers for our jackets in our school.
We don't
have hangers. I had to fight to get soap last year. They usually don't give us those things because they think we're gonna, like, ruin it.
We don't have air conditioning in school. And in summer it's too hot, and in winter it's too cold. Because we don't have a heating system.
Well, we do, but
it doesn't work.
Yeah, it doesn't
work. The heating system is a bit complicated.
The heating system is 30 years old, so as old as the school, and it breaks a lot.
So when it's 25 minus, then you're...
It can be even 40 minus.
And then you're just sitting there with your jacket.
Yeah, you have to... Ice on nose.
Yeah, the teachers don't hold the classes at the cycle.
I learned that some schools have a fireplace in a classroom. They have to get wood from their homes. So old, primitive, yeah.
They don't have the money for a proper heating system, but they have the money to set up cameras everywhere.
What do you want to do when you finish school?
You have to, you don't want to. You have to go to university because we're a gymnasium. Except him, he can work.
I can work a low pay grade job, but my ambition is to finish robotics university and then either get a job in the Ministry of Defense or be a permanent employee in the Red Cross.
Yeah. So you are going to university, for sure.
Yeah, going to university, but I usually think about this more selfishly. I just want something that makes me happy.
Yeah.
I just want to do... I don't know, I want to study something that actually I'm good at, no matter where it is, and I want to do the job that I feel happy.
At peace.
Yeah,
She's optimistic.
I'm just trying, not looking at the situation in this country, I'm just trying to look out for myself when it comes to this.
And basically, like Adi said, we have, at gymnasium, you can only be, you can clean, and that's the only thing you can do.
So, you can do a lot of stuff, but you can do, these practical things, you know. You can be a bartender.
You can't even be a bartender at some places.
Yeah.
Depends, if you know the right people, you can.
I already said that I write songs and short stories, and I don't have any opportunity to make money from that.
Yeah.
And I need to do something else because nobody appreciates writing
art.
Song. In fact, all art they don't appreciate.
I said, if you're not a doctor or an engineer or something, you're not valued in this society.
Yeah.
Even lawyers don't have too many
because,
job
opportunities. Because anyone can become a doctor or engineer because of that diploma that you can buy.
But then again, state university is basically suck the life out of you.
Yeah.
No, it's really hard. State universities are really, really corrupted. It still depends from a university to university, but it's basically it's a similar situation in all of them. It's really hard.
Here's an example. At the University of Tuzla, the mining section, the headmaster of the university is the cousin of the cantonal prime minister.
What are you dreaming about?
When I chose the extra subjects, elective, I started to, deal with literature a lot, to read the things I'm interested in, and that's the only time that I'm actually happy in that school.
Yeah, I'm doing...
When doing those things that I'm that I'm passionate about. And I wanted to, I just want to feel that way all the time. That's the objective there.
Yeah, I just hope that I will do a job that I like. I don't want to be forced to do something that I don't want to do. I want to be happy. It's hard to dream because from the young age there is a big pressure on you.
For example, since middle school, I've just been from time to time thinking about will I ever be able to find a job here to be secure here? And it is a lot of pressure because you hear on the news all the time that nobody's getting employed. My cousins finish universities and colleges and they don't have jobs. They have to work so much harder to actually just live, to have enough money for living.
Always look at
even if that means leaving this place. Because it is hard here, but I still really love this place and it would be hard leaving it. It's really hard, but it's not impossible. It could be achieved if you work hard enough. If you actually study hard enough and, try, maybe someone will see and, support you.
If you want to achieve your dreams here, you have to be prepared for a long fight,
for a lot of bureaucracy, possibly some political blackmail, but if you're just strong-headed enough, if you have a lot of will, you can achieve it.
You might finish university till you're 30.
No, yeah.
Yeah, seeing these people, our youth these days, and how, like, they're trying, like, they're really getting involved in these programs, and, like, maybe there is hope. Like, if...
No, maybe if, there is hope.
Like, if this continues, if the next generations get also involved, there should be improvement in this country.
When you read the news in our country, all you see is hate and pessimism and announcements of war, but when you go to a international camp of volunteers, be it a high schooler association, youth bank, or the Red Cross, you see young people from Serbia, Bosnia, Croatia, Slovenia, all working as one, all being one big family, and that's what brings back hope in the future.
The youth is trying to overcome it. Like, we're fighting. We're fighting for a better future.
Och det var det. Härliga personer, va?
Ja, helt fantastiska.
Jag gillar dem så mycket.
Mm.
Men sjukt det här hon sa om att man kunde gå eller till viss ett universitet i ett köpcentrum.
Inte bara ett, utan det finns ju flera universitet som är så.
Där man kan gå och bara köpa sig sitt diplom.
Nu är det bara en utrop.
Fokus.
Ja. Ska vi... Nej, vi kör.
Ja.
Det blir det, ja. Och nu ringer kyrkorna också. Det här kan inte bli mer Bosnien.
Bönutrop och kyrkor. Samklang.
Ja. Men ett nyligen öppnat universitet ligger, alltså det ligger i samma lokal som ett shoppingcentrum. Så man kan alltså gå till det här universitetet, skriva in sig och sen betalar man för ett diplom och sen så är man klar. Så man kan alltså gå och shoppa skor, man kan shoppa jacka och sen kan man gå och köpa ett universitetsbevis typ.
Ja. Det är kanske det vi borde göra med våra masters.
Ja, typ.
Ni hörde det här först.
Mm.
Men ja, det här avsnittet blev ganska långt så vi kanske inte behöver säga så mycket mer.
Ni tycker att de sa så mycket vettiga saker så det får vara långt.
Verkligen. Så i nästa avsnitt så kommer vi prata om miljön. Främst här i Tuzla, men också i Bosnien som helhet. För Tuzla är tydligen en av Europas mest förorenade städer. Och det märks, så att säga.
Mm. Man kan ju knappt andas utomhus på kvällarna. Och inomhus sitter ju alla och röker, så ja.
Det är trevligt.
Ja. Men, men tack så jättemycket för att ni har lyssnat på det här avsnittet.
Så hörs vi snart igen.
Det gör vi.